Well, welcome once again this morning. Please turn to Luke 13. Luke 13, we're going to be looking at verses 20 and 21. Last week, we mentioned that Jesus gave two parables, likely always spoken together, we see in the Gospels, to describe the incredible growth of the kingdom of heaven. The parable of the mustard seed, which we discussed last week, and the parable of the yeast, which we'll look at today. So let's look at that now. Luke 13, verses 20 and 21. And again he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was through the entire dough." Amen. Now remember, the parable of the mustard seed portrays the extensive growth of the kingdom. And this parable today of the yeast portrays the intensive growth of the kingdom of heaven. And so in this parable today, we see that the yeast, once added to the flour, it permeates the entire batch of dough. Every single part of it is affected, causing it to significantly change. It changes its form, its shape, its entire texture, its composition, the look, the feel, the taste, and even the flavor is changed by this yeast. And additionally, notice that the yeast is hidden from sight. You can't see it, yet its effects are visible to all. The parable of the yeast shows us this incredible power of the kingdom of heaven that leaves nothing unaffected. Now, if you remember from last week, the mustard seed parable shows us the incredible evangelistic growth as Christ sends us out to make disciples in every nation, and then sends the Word of God even to the farthest reaches of the end of the world, so that His kingdom, although it started very small, like the mustard seed, becomes large and expansive. And today, the parable of the yeast shows us something a little bit different. It shows us that that expansive nature of the kingdom doesn't just stop there. The kingdom of God just does not stop by just bringing the good news and faith and saving lost sinners. It permeates deep into the hearts of these saved ones, bringing forth an incredible transformation in hearts, then families, then communities, and in every facet of life. Even though in many ways, like yeast, it's hidden. Christ said in Matthew 5:16, "So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Good works that flow out of a changed heart. Or as we spoke about at the deep dive just for the last couple days, a heart that abounds in love, that it may approve the things that are excellent to Christ, resulting in a life that bears fruit to the glory and praise of God. And so, harnessed with this truth, minds renewed under the knowledge of Christ, God's redeemed people are now no longer regarding one another according to the flesh. Christians can now genuinely love without a hidden agenda, and who can authentically forgive, who can, with a heart that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, strive after the things of God. These born-again believers hold fast to the word of truth, and by the conviction of the Spirit of God, they know who they are. They are sinners saved by grace. They are slaves no longer to sin, but now they're slaves to righteousness. They know and they're confident in their freedom in Christ, which is not some liberty to live however they want, but it's actually a freedom from any longer serving themselves. And so they step forward in faith to serve God and others. Yet these chosen ones know that they are imperfect. In fact, they know they're far from perfect. And this humbles them and causes them to be sober-minded as they grow in the poverty of their spirit, in meekness and lowliness, even desiring to deny themselves and to decrease, that God would increase. And in this meekness, they're humbled even more by the fact that they are sinners, and the God of the universe has imputed unto them the righteousness of Christ, so that they are secure in Christ, no longer condemned, but clean, pure, white as snow, reconciled before God. And this humbles them all the more to do things for His glory. And as they engage in the truth now, They see that the battle is real. There are real spiritual battles circling around them, and there is much at stake. There's no time to waste on the foolishness their flesh once craved. They're propelled by faith to pursue the things that are excellent to God. And now this yeast, the kingdom of God, permeates out to affect everything. These blood-bought children of the King step forward and transform the entire world, starting with their own lives by walking penitently before God and then extending that to a family that bows the knees to Christ every day and depends on Him alone. And because of the kingdom of heaven, that Christian man can indeed declare his wife is like a fruitful vine and his children are like olive shoots around his table. And that family is part of a church, the bride of Christ, that corporately proclaims the Lord's sovereignty over all and shines as the cornerstone of the center of town, as a beacon of truth, championing and raising the standards of morality, ethics, decency, directed by the holy truth of God. Yet this yeast reaches even further into the family's very employment and business, and they're driven to do no less than to operate with integrity, honesty, generosity, just as their Father in heaven is generous to them. It penetrates even further and more intensely into their neighbors and their neighborhood that's transformed by the kingdom of God to an entire community where the gospel takes root. Where that checkout clerk at Walmart is not just saved by the blood of Christ, hallelujah, but her redeemed heart spills out with the joy of the Lord on every customer that passes by, affecting them for Christ. That young adult now sees his elderly neighbor in need and seeks to desire and fulfill the will of his Father by serving her. The yeast of the kingdom of heaven is continuing to permeate. There's no speck of this batch unaffected. Christians rise up and bring the entire truth of the gospel and the kingdom of heaven to bear in every facet of the world around them. They alleviate the suffering of the poor, champion the cause of justice on behalf of the widow, fatherless, and vulnerable. They demand honesty from appointed and elected officials. They defend the sanctity of life. They uphold the laws of the land. They example and strive for integrity in business, commerce, industry. They pursue diligence and increases in generosity, service, and love everywhere they go. They strive for the truth of God to be applied to medicine, legal issues, education, declaring that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and that all aspects of life in the world should follow in His way of righteousness. Yes, these followers of Christ make the teachings of Scripture relevant everywhere. And in that way, the world is transformed from the inside out, like the yeast, seemingly invisible, but extremely powerful. And they do this all by faith, not by the work of their two hands, for they know they have nothing with which to bring to do this redemptive work except for their King's law of love and gospel of peace. It's in fact in their weakness that they are strong, and that they're in their sufferings that He's glorified. This yeast is the rule of Christ in human hearts, lives, and spheres that has already done an incredible work in thousands of ways. You've seen it, but this influence is continuing, and it's not done yet. What's next to be reformed? What's next to be renewed and strengthened by the kingdom of heaven? By its powerful yet invisible touch. Because as our text says, we know it will work through the entire batch. It doesn't go. You ever done that? Put some yeast in a loaf of bread and it just expands a little part of it? We work it through the whole loaf. Christ works it through the whole world. The reforming, invasive power of the gospel will spread to every facet of life, including your life. So how about you? Are there parts of your life that you're keeping from the kingdom of heaven? Are there parts of your life that are neutral and not really for or against God? Are there parts of your life you don't let be permeated by the kingdom? Do you compartmentalize little pockets? I used to do this. My job. I just have have to do it so I can make some money. And then when work's done, I can really get to the kingdom work. I can go disciple my children. Or is it like school? It's drudgery, but I must get through it so that I can get a job. Or does the joy of the Lord give you purpose to pursue it well to His glory and let that yeast even infect in that place? Because the truth is, He has you right where He wants you to be part of this incredible expansion of the kingdom of heaven. Don't try to run away from it. You're right where you should be. So let the yeast affect the whole batch. Don't hide any part of it. Every word you speak, every thought you think, your vision, your love, your use of time, your confession, your forgiveness, your driving habits, your friends, your free time, your garden, your health, your doctrine, the road you live on, your brothers and sisters, the restaurants you go to, nothing is left unaffected by the kingdom of heaven. Let everything be touched, influenced, transformed, renewed, propelled to the upward call of Jesus Christ. And even, yes, even in those mundane and ordinary things of life, like washing the dishes, there is much glory to be given to our King right there. Then let that flow out of you, into your church, into your neighbors, into your school, your job, your community. Because wherever you go, you're Christ's ambassador. You're giving the fragrance of Christ. Now, as we enter our time of confession, let us examine, do we view the kingdom of heaven as Christ has described it here? Are you optimistic? Are you hopeful, looking forward to and anticipating the work of God? That the yeast will work through the whole batch, from your heart outward to the whole world. The power, the influence, the transformation that leaves nothing unaffected. As we just all declared, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your incredible kingdom that grows, that stretches, that reaches to the farthest corners of the earth and then dives deep and invasively permeating every single aspect of life. Oh Lord, we confess to you that at times we hide parts of our life because we don't think they can be affected by your love, by your kingdom. Oh Lord, may we bring these out into the light that they may be transformed by the gospel, that they may be transformed by the word of truth, that they would be set to fire and life like our souls. Lord, we thank you for this. And we take a moment now to individually confess our sins to you.